Hey friends, it's your intrepid warrior, David Land Julie on the Leadership Deep Dive. And I have a special guest for us today, Patrick Dunn. Welcome, Patrick.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Thanks for coming on the show. Hey guys, Patrick is a leadership speaker and founder of Paxaterra. I hope I pronounced that right.
Perfect.
Paxaterra Global. You know, over the past 30 years, he has led and supported high-pressure global teams across complex mission-driven work. His signature framework, Lead with Soul, is built on four pillars: presence, purpose, regeneration, and service. Patrick is also an active Rotarian and civic leader. So welcome, Patrick.
Thank you. My pleasure to be here.
Yeah.
Always happy to talk about leading with soul.
Well, that's what I want to talk about. You know, I mean, what is this leading with soul? I mean, you and I got up before we got on the show, we were talking about, you know, we were both born and raised Catholic and we've been involved with men's Christian groups over the years, and you're a Rotarian. So I'm curious about your, this leading with soul thing. It certainly tickled my funny bone.
So why don't we, if I can take a step back a little bit,
yeah,
kind of say how everything led up to where I'm at,
yeah,
today.
Oh, please do. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. So if you go back a long time ago in a world far, far away at the University of Maine, I mean, if you go back to the 80s, I mean, we're dating ourselves.
I can go back with you to the 80s. In fact, I was on the show with Margaret earlier this week, and we were going back to Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory version one, which is late 60s or early 70s. Anyway, go ahead.
But if we go back that far, I was involved. I didn't know what I wanted to do. Like most college kids, I was there to study, party a little bit, and it turned out to be partying a whole lot. And that's probably how I wound up on the five-year plan as well. But it is what it is. But even in college, I was always involved in service. So I joined a fraternity, Alpha Phi Omega National Service Fraternity. Mm-hmm. So that kind of embedded service more into me. I did some when I was younger in high school and things. Mm-hmm. But I was also at the University of Maine. I'll give you a fun fact. I was the mascot for the University of Maine.
I remember. What's the mascot called?
Bananas the Bear.
Is it still Bananas the Bear?
It's still Bananas the Bear. The costume has changed a number of times over the years.
Wow.
Kind of going forward, sometimes going backwards. But that's kind of where I started to learn how to perform. You know, I was a shy kid from a small town in Maine, went to school. I mean, I'd never been to that many people in my life when I went to college. Never had a roommate. I mean, I had two roommates when I was in college. I was in a triple. But again, as I mentioned, that's where my why first started to be kind of develop my purpose. Really didn't know what it was. It's like still trying to find myself, but I graduated, became a park ranger. So for National Park Service. So my why definitely became into focus at that point. And so I learned how to be present, how to renew myself, regenerate myself, and how to lead with service. So I'm a natural storyteller as well. I love telling stories.
Mm-hmm.
And even back at the University of Maine, one of my mentors was Sandy Ives, director of the Maine Folklore Society. And he was my mentor as well. But again, going forward, your presence and your purpose change over time. Then I got married, had a family, got involved in corporate America, rising the corporate ladder. So as you mentioned, I spent 30 years leading global teams in operational resilience.
Right.
And so that's where I learned how to become present in the room. I mean, people will call it, my old boss used to call it, I could go into a meeting at these, in the last couple of years, they're all Zoom calls anyway, or pick your platform. But I'd go in, I think the first day on the job, I walked in, we're having an outage situation and everybody's screaming on the phone, not getting the problem solved. There were no leaders present. I mean, they were all leaders in title, but there were no leaders present. So I stepped in and use my deep, very white voice. And I said, let's calm down. And so I got everyone calmed down. They'd been on that call for probably 4 hours before I came in. And within half an hour, we had the problem resolved. Because everyone is trying to pick apart the other ones. Just determine what the problem is, how we can what's the best way to solution this problem? Well, we need to get it back up.
Calmness is certainly one element of presence. Actually, you could be quite, I'm thinking about the gospel where Jesus turns over the tables of the money changers in the temple. You could be angry and be present also in that sort of way, honestly. But I'm curious, so, you know, you had the presence to calm everyone down, and you do have a very calming demeanor, so I appreciate that about you. But tell me a little bit about where intuition fits in this for you.
Yeah, that's a great question. Intuition, it comes with experience as well. I mean, my intuition now is different than it would have been 20 years ago, having lived and breathed in a high pressure cooker for most of my career. I can sense, I can almost intuitively sense when something's going south very quickly.
Right.
So it's just, it's your gut. It's your soul telling you that something's gone.
Ah, yeah, there it is. Your soul is telling you something is speaking to you. There's some, the still quiet voice, right?
The still voice. And it doesn't, and it's not a religious voice. It's just,
no,
the voice inside of you. So I don't want people to think that leading with soul has some religious connotation. It may to some people, but in my mind, it doesn't. It's just leading from inside, what your gut tells you, how to be present, how to be present for others, being a good person.
Right. Yeah.
Being a good leader.
Leading from within, right? Leading from self.
Correct.
Yeah, I love that. We do a lot of work. Margaret and I, my partner on the show here, do a lot of work with leaders on, you know, putting their own oxygen mask on first, right? Really get your own house in order. And but intuition is one of those things. I like what you said. It emanates from inside. And if you want to say it emanates from the soul, I'm perfectly okay with that. But it is the still small voice. And I'm sure, like, you're a public speaker, and you go into audiences and rooms. And tell me, like, do you go in with like a calmness and then just try to sense what's in the room when you get there? Or tell me how your intuition works when you're speaking.
Yeah. So what I typically do is, obviously, I do some prep work before I go into a speaking engagement, so I know what the audience is like. Mm-hmm. But it also depends on what time of the day I'm speaking in as well. There are times I go in right after lunch and it's just like, okay, they're snoozing already. They're from lunch. So I'll come in with more energy at that point than I normally would. I can read the room. I can see people nodding off or on their phones. Right. I'll just intuitively come up. I'll call it my mascot costume, and I'll come in and I'll just start cheering up the audience. I'll get everybody, let's stand up. Let's do jumping jacks, or let's just do something to get the energy flowing back into the room. And then at that time, everybody's kind of laughing, they're having fun, and then they get into it. But there are other times you go into a room and they're already energized. They may have had another speaker before me that left them highly energized and they're distracted. So then I'll come in with, as I said, my Barry White voice, and I'll just calm. We'll calm down. Right. One of my coaches has always said, you've got that calm demeanor, like you said, David. Hmm. You could lead a fireside chat. So it'd be almost like FDR going back in World War II days, calming everybody, calming the audience down, and funny analogy is I can almost visualize you in a smoking jacket sitting in front of a fireplace, just telling everybody the truth as it is, but keeping it in a calm voice and just motivating them that way. Because motivation can take several different factors. I mean, it's not always a rah-rah type. It's giving people the truth and letting them decide and pointing them in the right direction.
Yeah. So presence has a wide spectrum.
Correct.
When you're leading with presence, it really depends on the situation. Sometimes it requires calmness, and sometimes it requires energy, is what I'm hearing.
It does.
And the intuition can inform which direction you go in. That's part of presence. That's what I'm hearing.
Absolutely. And there are times that I do want to go in and kick the table over in a room, and I stop myself before I do that. I mean, especially when I was leading teams, there were times that I wanted to go in and just kick the table over and shake somebody's heart. But I may have actually tried to do that earlier in my career, but over time that doesn't get us anywhere. So yeah, you learn to adapt to the audience, and you learn what a leader is meant to be.
Yeah. So we touched on presence as one of the legs of this four-legged stool called leading with soul. You mentioned, you know, your arc that led you to this, and you know, your purpose changed during your life. So I'd be curious just to hear, what is your purpose now? How did you find it? And how might you encourage our friends in the audience to think about this?
Sure. So my purpose now is exactly what I'm doing now, helping people lead when they're running on fumes, how to mm-hmm. help them manage difficult life situations, whether it be at work or at home. And I'm not a counselor. I just go in with some practical advice, teaching people how to be a calm presence, whether it be at home. I mean, you can take the same skills as a leader in the workplace and adapt them to your home use as well. Be present. Be present mm-hmm. for your family. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I learned. I think where it started the change was at one point, probably about 2 years ago, I found myself about midnight typing away, sending just another email. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't getting anywhere. I mean, I was working 18 hours a day, which is not healthy. I admit that, but we all get into those routines when you're trying to keep up with the Joneses or you're trying to climb the corporate ladder. And then a little while after that, I was still part of a service group. This is probably about maybe a little over a year ago, actually less than a year ago. There was an event that I helped plan as part of my service part, which was the Muir Woods Peace Walk. Muir Woods, for those of you who don't know, is a national monument in Tiburon, California. Mm-hmm. And that park is full of redwoods. Mm-hmm. 80 years ago, they had a peace walk there, or a walk about 2 weeks after FDR passed away. We had ambassadors from 80 countries at that point, just walking and memorizing. It was the pre-cycle to the United Nations forming. So it was actually formed. Mm-hmm. And another fun tidbit, the United Nations is almost headquartered in California, in San Francisco, as opposed to New York. So you can imagine what the differences would be. But anyway, I digress. But as I was doing that reenactment, we had about 18 consulate generals there from the San Francisco area. Mm-hmm. And we were just walking in silence. Mm-hmm. And I could almost hear the trees whispering to me, saying, mm-hmm. be calm. You've got a new purpose coming. I mean, as you just sit there in the calmness of Muir Woods or any woods where you're just sitting there just kind of absorbing it all, that's when it hit me. My purpose has changed. It's not to lead corporate America. Mm-hmm. It's not to climb the corporate ladder anymore. So it's to help others get this sense of purpose, get this sense of presence, help mm-hmm. renew themselves mm-hmm. and help them lead better, whether it be at work or at home. So mm-hmm. that's when the light clicked. And probably in about 4 months after that is when I left corporate America for good. Mm-hmm. And it was just, I said, enough is enough. It was mm-hmm. a little bit of a forced situation, but it is what it is. I mean, it was time for me to move on.
Yeah.
And so I'd been planning for this
I want to pause you there for a moment. Yeah. Oftentimes when you're listening to that still quiet voice as you were in Muir Woods, there's a pull toward your purpose. You were being pulled in a way. You weren't maybe quite sure yet what it was looking like. And maybe you're still exploring that. Sometimes it does take a while. And then oftentimes, I can share in my own journey, there's a nudge or a push also at the same time. And that's kind of, you got to be listening for both of those.
Yeah, absolutely.
Without the nudge or the push, you could stay where you are doing the midnight emails. Like I was leading a fundraising team at Princeton, and yet I was being drawn to my work as an executive coach and leadership trainer. And so I was feeling this pull, and then the push came. So I think you got to listen for both. And then, you know, you kind of know that's,
yeah, absolutely.
Let me follow the pull as opposed to resisting the push.
Exactly. And when you feel that pull, you know, at least I didn't think I quite understood what the pull was at the time, yeah. or the push, as you said.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I was planning for my escape all along from corporate to do this eventually, but then that push came in September and it's like, okay, you're off the deep end, right. you're in it. And this is what you're meant to do. And I strongly have that feeling that I'm meant to do this.
Yeah. So I think you have to be present. So just to get back to one of the P's in your four-legged, you know, stool, you have to be present. You have to be listening at a very deep inward level, listening inward for what is pulling you. So there's, you know, and you were clearly already in that. We would call that an inquiry, you know, in coaching. You were in that inquiry. Okay, what am I being pulled toward? What am I being pulled toward? There's something. I can't see it yet. What am I being pulled toward? And then you kind of get a sense like the push is, okay, all right, the push is just going to accelerate me fully. You know? So I love that. I love that. So I don't think my experience of this is in my life, I'd be interested in you know, what, as your purpose has evolved over time, it's not like I necessarily even chose it. At some point you choose it. But it seems like it chooses you first. Say a little bit more about that.
It does choose you. I mean, the undercurrent through all this was service anyway.
Uh-huh. Okay, so, yeah.
So the undercurrent throughout this, and that's never changed throughout my life. I mean, even as a young kid, I mean, my dad worked at the veterans home, veterans hospital as a kid, when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And he had me go in and volunteer one day. And I wound up going to a bunch of, at that time, he still had a couple of World War I veterans around.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is back in the 60s and 70s. So now we're really going back.
I think I remember there were some Memorial Day parades where there were even some Civil War veterans still alive back then. Yeah.
But I distinctly remember this is the first flashpoint of service I have in my memory. Is I'm down there showing a movie to these veterans, and it was Mel Brooks' Blazing Saddles. I mean, as a 12 or 13-year-old kid, to see an R-rated movie, number one. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, seeing the happiness on these veterans' faces who may be on their last journey in life, or they may be they're coping with other things in their life, PTSD, or there are a few Vietnam vets too there, I think, as well. That joy came within me, and that just kind of, that was the seed that started sprouting as I grew older. And that undercurrent stayed with me, whether it be in my fraternity life or in Rotary or volunteering with my daughter's school. I always sought the leadership roles, and I never thought, it's like, I don't want to be just another body. I want to be, if you can't do it right, I'll do it myself and lead. But now my renewal has come around as I work that part in regenerational renewal. Mm-hmm. It's just renewing yourself, understanding yourself, and renewing your sense. It's like, okay, I don't need to be that person who's in the limelight all the time. I can be in the background helping that person, be the kingmaker, not the king. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of renewed myself in that respect. And that's what I teach people as well in their professional lives. You need to be able to renew yourself so you can be of service to your staff, your family.
Yeah. I want to tease these two things apart because they are related, service and renewal. But I want to stay on service for a moment. I think a lot of things I think, but I think in a larger organization, when you're part of a larger corporation or a larger nonprofit organization, you can get lost in the bureaucracy, and that sense of service, unless you're being present about it, mindful. Another word I like to use, mindful. Unless you're being mindful of what it is, of what service you are being. It's like it's a state of being. Again, this is related to your soul. Being of service is not doing service. There will be some doing involved.
Right.
But it's a state of being first. You could just be of service. Small acts of service can be quite powerful. I think a lot of people get lost in the like, oh, I have to start a nonprofit to be of service and change the world. Well, you could do that. And you better be regenerating and renewing yourself along the way. Otherwise, you're going to face plant at some point. But small acts of service, like in my world, I really enjoy working one. I mean, I've done, we do some group training, but I really feel like my sense of service comes from helping people one-on-one, even if I'm not being paid. Even if I'm not, yeah. So that's where I get, like you said, you gotta look for where you derive joy. That's another part of this too. Like, does your act of service give you joy? I think you gotta ask that question. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you don't have joy in your life, you're not going anywhere. I mean, I go back to that point when I was working at midnight, still trying. I wasn't being of service to anybody. I wasn't being of service to myself, right, my family, because I'd go into work the next day and I'd be snapping at people just because I wasn't mindful. I wasn't present and I was just tired, or I was just wasn't paying attention to them in the room. Mm-hmm. So the thing that I learned in corporate America was that being of service to your employees is just being devoted to them, listening to them, not being distracted, mm-hmm. and just saying, okay, Here we are, we're talking, and they're mentioning the problem that they're having of bringing an issue to you. Mm-hmm. I've learned to be, and I teach people this, you need to be present with them in that room. You mm-hmm. can't, your mind can't be thinking about the meeting right after that. You can't be thinking about, okay, what's my boss going to think? You got to give them that attention, that's service to your employees and in your staff being of that. But on the other side, in my day-to-day life, you're right. And that simple act of kindness is right. of service. It's giving somebody I like to give people a white rose every now and then, symbol of peace and hope. Mm-hmm. And I learned that from my friend Heidi Kuhn, who was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize last year. Mm. His signature is giving a white rose to someone, just meet a stranger that they meet. Oh, did I lose you?
Oh. We're back. I'm not sure. I think the recording got interrupted either on your end or my end. We are still recording.
So okay.
Let's see where this goes. Okay. this is being present. You got to be present.
You got to adapt. I mean, it's as I was saying.
I notice our images have flipped on the screen.
Yes, I went blank. So.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm curious I mean, one of the things I like to do is I like to write people personal handwritten notes. Yep. That's one way I can, be of service to people and stay connected with them. And it takes time and it's effort. But that's my thing. So these little acts of kindness, little acts of service can be very uplifting. How do you stay... you talk about regeneration and renewal. What do you recommend for folks who are, who are following this kind of, they're pursuing their purpose, they're being of service, they're present with their employees or their, the people they're serving, but how do you stay healthy and able to continue to function?
It took me a little while to figure this part out, but again, it's taking that break when you keep, my wife keeps saying, take a walk. And I never did. And mm-hmm. so I took the time to just take a walk around the block at lunchtime or first thing in the morning. I mean, that's a little bit of renewal there. You're kind of taking it all in, or go find a park, go sit in a park and just watch the kids play on the playground, not in a stalking way, but just watch people playing and go to a soccer game mm-hmm. where youth activities are going. I mean, that's a sense of renewal for me, is just kind of relaxing mm-hmm. and just letting go of everything, whether it be a walk or just sitting in the woods, listening to the trees whisper to you. Mm-hmm. And when you take the time to just sit down and watch the world around you, there's a lot of bad things happening in the world now, but there's also a lot of good things too. Look at the bright side of life, and just go with that. Take that walk, take that renewal, and if you continue to look at the bright side of things,
yeah. So I hear you saying, don't turn on cable news to get the renewal and regeneration. You're not going to find it there.
No, I don't watch news anymore.
Yeah, I still
do. Very rarely do I watch. My wife's a news junkie. I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of know what I'm. I have plenty of white space in my day that where I use for regeneration, renewal, and presence, being present, being mindful. So I don't mind keeping abreast of what's happening, just so you know. I've always been interested in history and politics, so that's also, you know.
Same here. Deep.
But you can get very triggered, and it can be a source of draining of energy if you're taking it too seriously. So just a bit of caution there. So I know we're coming to the end of our time together, and I'm curious, two things. Where can people find you if they're interested in your work and maybe working with you or having you come in and speak about leading with soul? So where can people best find you?
Sure. I think my email address is underneath my name on the screen.
Yeah.
patrick.intl.com. My website is the same. Mm-hmm. My speaking reel is there as well. So people are more than welcome to do that. And I do speak to corporate audiences as well as keynotes, and I do workshops as well. So
great.
That can range anywhere from an hour to half a day of full day workshops. I've done both.
So you do stuff online? You do stuff mostly in person?
Combination of both.
Okay. Got it. Beautiful. So, you know, you can find Patrick online. If, you know, reach out to him. He's gracious to put his email address here. You can email him directly. So is there any one thing, like if you were to want to leave the audience with something to go put into practice, what might it be?
I would say, think about what you're doing before you walk into a room. Just take a deep breath. If it's, I've kind of borrowed a little bit of this from Mel Robbins, but count down, go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Take a deep breath. And that, to me, that calms me down instantly. If you keep going up, you're expecting more. If you count down, you can just walk into a room, take that deep breath, know what you're going into. Mm-hmm. And, That will help you throughout your day and throughout your life and career.
It will also, that little pause, the breath, the countdown will nourish your soul.
There you go. I'm going to borrow that.
You got it, my friend. So, Patrick, thanks so much for being on the show.
My pleasure.
Today. I don't know how this is going to work with, you know, we had a little bit of internet interruption. We'll see what happens. But stay tuned. I'm going to post this LinkedIn Live, and it'll also be available on the podcast where if you prefer to listen to it in the car, you can listen to us talk about leading with soul. So put that little pause, think, and countdown into practice. All right. Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you. My pleasure. Have a good day, everybody.